Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
Of the body of Christ, but you're not really a functioning part of the body if you're just on your own. If you're watching at home and you're not really part of the church, you should be a moving part of the church. You should be a part that's connected with the rest of the body. Otherwise, you're a body part, but not part of the body. We need you in the church. We cannot do a complete work if the church is not completely connected. Amen? I want to read Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 to begin. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. It says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known, and in wrath, remember mercy. I believe God is a God of mercy and God is a God of grace. But we look around us and we see a world that is covered in darkness, that is walking in sin, and sometimes it looks like things are getting worse instead of getting better. Sometimes it looks we had a little bit of victory, but then the people that are in the world totally turned against that victory that we had, try to take it away from us. I find it interesting that after Habakkuk chapter 2, when God speaks about vision, this is what Habakkuk is praying. Habakkuk is praying for revival. How do I know? Well, it's because he used the word. He said, revive your work. So he is reminded of the work that God has always done. He is reminded of all the times that God has helped Israel. So what you need to understand, we might get to it, but in Habakkuk chapter 1, God says there's going to be a lot of horrible things happening with Israel. But then Habakkuk says, wait a minute. Don't forget what you have done in the past. Don't forget the great miracles that you have done for Israel, not because they deserved it, but because they are your people. And the same thing goes for us. I believe that God wants to revive the works that he has done in the past, and then more than that, all the things that he has done in the great revivals in the past, he wants to do again, and he wants to do more than that. We shouldn't be looking back with homesickness. Oh, Lord, you did so many great things. No, we need to use that as an appetizer for our meal. This is where we're going. This is what God has for us. I believe in revival for our personal lives, but I believe in revival for this church, and I believe in revival for this region. I believe it. This is exactly what I said this morning, what I shared. I believe that God is not done yet. We haven't even seen anything yet, and greater things are about to happen. I don't say those things wherever I go. I go exactly with what I sense in my spirit. I just returned from Poland. I just went to Poland, and I can tell you I did not say these things in those churches. They were as dead as a doornail. The church where I went, not every church is dead, but I mean, the churches where I went, I was like, Lord, have mercy. This reminds me of where I do not want to be. I want to be in Poland, but you know, I'm a pastor myself. I said, I never want my church to get to this place where we used to have great things, but we're kind of still kind of coasting on the things that we used to receive, you know, in the movements of God where we were. No, I want fresh revival every single day. I need to sense the presence of God. The world around me might look like it's going to hell, but I want to make sure that I am close in God's presence and know that I'm doing his will. So I want to do the same thing that Habakkuk said, that he said, Lord, revive your work. I cry out to God. I don't know if you know these, but I know that Pastor Derek and Pastor Susan know this, is that the revivals in the past, when you hear about Charles Finney, things like that, and you're like, yes, Lord, revive your works. Do it again. Or the revivalists, you know, the healing revivalists, Lord, do it again. You know, how can it be that miracles and the healing move now seems less than it was 50 years ago? We should have more than we had then. We should be building on the revelations that they had then. We should be building on the shoulders of the ones that went before us. You know, so I believe that this is exactly what we will see, because God is stirring up a desire on the inside of us. And you are in such a great place. I love this church. I love the atmosphere that I felt this morning. I love the atmosphere. As I said, normally I don't have five or six pictures or visions before I go up to preach. I might have one, and that changes my message. But now I'm like, Lord, I don't know. You need to stop now because I can't keep up. I'll keep forgetting to say what I need to say, right? I always want to give a good introduction and thank your pastor and thank the people that I know. I totally forgot about that because of all the things that God is saying. Pastor, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate the apostolic work that you are doing. For those who were not here this morning, Pastor Susan was with us in May in Power City in Holland, and she did a phenomenal job. Yeah, our people love you. That was so great. And she's a great dresser. Look at this. Yeah, I looked at her this morning. I was like, wow. So yeah, I can't dress like that. And of course, our good friends, Pastor Troy, Pastor Anwin, you know, we love you. Yeah, you have been with us, but it's been a while already. When were you with us? In March. Yeah, you were both there. Yeah, so they always do a great job. I've known these people for a long time. There's not many people that I respect as much as these people here on the front row. So, yeah, I love you. I love you. I believe that we need revival in the church. Also, even though I feel very good things about this church, this is exactly what I feel for City Harvest, that we need to be revived as a church, that we need to be revived as a nation. The promises on this land are too great to just let go and to just think, oh, it's too late. It's not too late. It's not too late at all. There's good people running for office, but it's not even about that. It's about us, what we need to do. We need to cry out to God, right? So, yes, election is one thing, then prayer is another thing, and doing our job. So what the church has done is like, oh, we vote the right person in, and we kind of, as a church, we pick the candidate we think represents our values, and then we expect them to solve all the problems, right? But that's not how it works. That's not what the church is supposed to do. So you need to do your part. So how much have you been involved in trying to let this world know that Jesus Christ is alive? When is the last time that you witnessed to somebody? When is the last time that you helped someone? When you loved on someone? When is the last time that you prayed for someone that they would see a miracle? And I'm not talking about your Christian brother. No. Let's go to the sinners. Let's go to the sinners. I'm not an evangelist, but if we're not winning souls, we're losing our destiny as a church, right? We need to win souls. That's what we are all called to do. So that's what we need to get doing. We need revival in the church. This morning, I spoke about Acts chapter 4, so I quickly want to go there. You don't have to turn there, but I want to mention a couple of the verses from Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles were preaching the gospel. So you have Peter and John preaching the gospel and doing miracles. But then, you know, the religious leaders, which we all know, they are the ones that cause most problems, right? It's like I won't go there, but Lord have mercy. I find the world easier than some of these religious folks. You're like, please, just leave me alone. So, but they were threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore and not to do any more miracles in the name of Jesus. And what did the apostles do? Well, the apostles, they went to their own company of people. And I said, do you have your company of people that when you get into trouble, when you are pressured, when people put pressure on you, do you have that company of people that you can go to? It says in Acts 4:23, they went to their own companions and they reported. Now, they didn't report negativity or gossip. They reported what the problem was so they could have victory. Right? Then in verse 24, it says, they raised their voice to God with one accord. So in unity, they cried out to God. They didn't, like most Westerners pray, bow their heads and prayed silently. No, they cried out to God with one accord. I love this because a lot of times in our culture, we like to be quiet. I don't know about California, but we have a church in Holland, and people there, they always pray quietly. And then they always say yes, because the Lord was not in the storm and the Lord was not in the earthquake, but the Lord spoke with a still small voice. They use that verse, and I'm like, I am so fed up with that, because what did that voice say? That voice, right? That voice, that still small voice, says, what are you doing here? Meaning, he was in the wrong place. He was not supposed to be there. That was the voice because of disobedience. Now, all throughout the Bible, I do believe in quiet prayer, but all throughout the Bible, we read, we hear about loud prayers, lifting up our voices. So we should not be ashamed, and let no one ever tell you that you are too loud in prayer. There is no too loud in prayer. Absolutely. Don't be afraid of that. Just be able to express yourself loudly, because that's more biblical. I'm not saying you have to be loud if you want to be quiet, but don't tell me I'm wrong, because it's more biblical to be loud than to be quiet. Amen. This, I only do this at home, so to me it feels I feel right at home. Okay, then verse 29, it says they asked for more boldness and more signs. So they asked what got them into trouble, they asked more of. They said, we want more boldness. They spoke in the name of Jesus. That got them into trouble. And they asked for more signs. That's the second thing that got them into trouble. Right? I love this. I love this prayer. They didn't ask, oh, Lord, protect us. You know, bring us to a city where, you know, we're accepted. And, you know, I know we always say don't go where you're tolerated, but go where you're celebrated. How about just we go where we're called to go? Never called to be celebrated. What kind of nonsense is this? I mean, I preached that myself. But then I started thinking, it's like, no, I've really been to many places where they didn't celebrate me. It's okay. They didn't celebrate Jesus wherever he went. He didn't say, go, where's the party? Let's go there. No, not at all. He actually went into the darkest places where he wasn't celebrated. Right? Anyways, when the next preacher says, don't go, don't be upset with them. It's a good thing that they say, but we should just go where we're called to go. So they ask for more boldness and they ask for more signs, which I like, because it shows you where unity comes from. Unity wasn't found in the meeting that they organized and talking about the problems they were facing. It wasn't found about talking about the negative things, about gossiping. No, they were saying, we want unity in the same vision. And that is that we want more boldness to save souls and we want more miracles. So unity is caused by having the same vision of winning souls and walking in the supernatural. It's not a calling of just one church. That's the calling of the church. We might have more details, but that's what your church is called to do. The church is called to win souls and do miracles. Why? Why are miracles so important? Because all the rest you could do on your own. Miracles are impossible for you to do. So let's give God credit. All these people that say that the time of the supernatural is over, time of miracles is over, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because God is a God of patterns. He started this world in a supernatural way all throughout the Old Testament, right? With Abraham, with Moses, with David, with the prophets. Everything was supernatural. Jesus was born in a supernatural way. He lived his life in a supernatural way. He died and rose again in a supernatural way. He's going to come again in a supernatural way. But now we shouldn't have any supernatural. Yeah, that makes no sense. That's not according to the pattern. God is God, and he's a supernatural God. So this is what they were praying for, and this is why they were in unity. They weren't fighting like, oh, no, Apostle John, Apostle Peter, we shouldn't pray this because I believe it is more important now to, you know, to fund this and this program. No, they had unity in praying for souls and praying for the supernatural. And that is what caused prosperity to come. They prayed for the same thing. Unity came. Prosperity came after this. I'm not reading that because we read that this morning. Then it says that with great power, the apostles gave witness. That's in verse 33. That with great power, that's what God has destined for you. That with great power, we give testimony of who Jesus is. Jesus is supernatural. He is a Lord of power. Yes, he is a Lord of love. Yes, he's a Lord of grace, but he is a Lord of power. That's how he lived his life, and that's what he wants to do through you. Amen. As a result of this prayer, they were filled again with the Spirit. They got more boldness. There was a lack. I like that, right? There was no more lack, so there was a lack. And there was no more selfishness because they started sharing. I've had people that come to me and say, oh, we need to be more like, you know, Acts chapter 4 and start sharing. I said, no, we first need to go to the beginning of Acts chapter 4. We're not socialists, right? So we're not just sharing whatever. Let's first let there be unity. And the unity is because we are praying for souls and believing for the supernatural to manifest. So, but the main thing is they had a company of people that they could go to. That is your church. Your church should be the company of people, the people that are of like faith and of like spirit, that have the same DNA, that have the same fire burning on the inside of them. And whenever you find yourself outside of that fire, you know as long as I go back there, they will set me back on fire. Probably not you, but I've had moments that I didn't have the same fire I used to have. But as long as I hang out with the right people, I get that same fire again. I get that same passion again. That is why having a company of people is so important. God never intended for you to be alone. If you're home alone, not attending church, go to church. It is so important, not for your salvation, but to be a moving part of the body of Christ. Amen? We are a church. We are a church. We are a family. We are an army. We are a body of Christ. This church has a passion for souls, to win souls for Jesus. This church has a passion to see the supernatural manifest, not just in the services, but in every single member of the church. And that's what it should be. We don't just want miracles in the service. Actually, this morning, I tell you why I didn't really feel to pray for the sick. Because normally, I almost always do. But I'm like, okay, you're here. Right? You are used to seeing miracles. You're used to seeing healing. You're used to seeing the supernatural. And this is how it should be. But more than just in services, the supernatural should operate in your life. Instead of just inviting your neighbor to come to a healing service, you are the healing service. This is what church is supposed to be. Church is not only when we are here. Church is when you go out there, right? We need revival in the church. God never intended for the church to be at the level where it is right now. He called us and he called you. He called City Harvest to have impact in this region. And then this morning I said, I am absolutely convinced that's what God is going to do. That is what God called you to do. But we need the whole church to come together. Not just a few individuals. Right? Not just a few people that attend church and they do their function. No, the whole church walking in that DNA. Now, Habakkuk chapter 3 follows Habakkuk chapter 2. I know that sounds very simple, but the reason why I say it, because we have learned a new art to take verses completely out of context. Right? So we use a verse and then say, oh yeah, that's God's promise for me. Like what I said about Habakkuk chapter 2 that speaks about the vision. Okay, I get your point, but that vision was not a good vision. It's like this death and destruction is going to happen, but we're celebrating. Yeah, God's going to give me vision. Yeah, okay. Habakkuk chapter 3 was as a result of Habakkuk chapter 2 that God said it will for surely happen. This destruction is going to happen. So Habakkuk was motivated to start praying and say, Lord, revive your work. You started a great work with Israel. Please revive your work. So when you have compassion for your nation, when you have compassion for Orange County, you don't just say, oh man, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, it's going the wrong way. No, then where is your prayer that you say, Lord, revive your work, revive the promises that you have done, revive the miracles that you've done in the past here, revive the anointing that flowed here, revive that river that has gone dry. Lord, we need your power, we need your presence, because you have promises for this nation and specifically for this region. Like historically, this was a place of revival. Yeah. And not just little bitsies of revival. No, mean revivals that change the world. Amen. That's what God wants to do again. Now, he won't do it in the same way. He wants to do it through you. I do believe, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, but I do believe that we will see more disease. We will see more crises, not as a punishment, but just as a result of all the things that are happening. I do believe that the Lord is going to come back soon, but I'm not too focused on when he's going to come back. I'm focused on what we need to do before he comes back. I believe we need to get to working the harvest, winning souls, and walking in the supernatural. But I do believe that we'll see a lot more crises. Now, I also said I believe that as long as you stay in the presence of God, you will be protected. I truly believe that. But I also believe that we need to see what is going on in the world around us. So Habakkuk is crying out because Habakkuk is seeing something in the nation. He says, I don't like this. And as a result of what he said, God said bad things are going to happen. Then he speaks about the vision, and then Habakkuk starts crying out again, Lord, revive your work. So, but what are the things that Habakkuk saw? Let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. So we need to see what is going on in the world around us. And instead of just getting upset about how politics are going, how you don't like the government maybe in California or in D.C., the things that you see, instead of complaining about it, what can we really do? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There's strife and contention arises. Verse 4, therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Okay, this is a problem that I faced this year. It's because I'm a justice kind of person. Not what I mean is I don't like it when things are unfair. I just get so upset. And never, as much as before, I see that people are calling good evil and evil good. Never have I seen it at this level. And I found myself disappointed, but worse, very discouraged. I'm like, literally, I said, man, these are all these people that we voted for all these years. What have they really done? The trouble got worse. Yeah, I know some good things happen. We got some good judges in. Okay, nice. But what happens? What's happening with this world? And this is exactly what's going on. Habakkuk says, but there is no justice. He says, the problem is there is a law, but the law is not being kept. He says, instead of speaking justice, they're no longer speaking justice. That's the world how I perceive it in so many nations, not only here. I live in the Netherlands. I see the same thing happening there. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Why are people that are doing bad things not punished? Actually, they get rewarded, right? Because of their sad past. Well, okay, I understand that. I'm a born-again Christian. I know I used to be a bad guy. I know I didn't deserve mercy, but the law is there to speak justice. Yeah. But when the law is being used to let evil roam free and to punish the good, people get frustrated. This is one thing that politicians will need to understand, because after a while, if you do that too long, people are boiling over. They're going to get angry. They feel frustrated. This is what Habakkuk is seeing. He is seeing all this sin, and he doesn't see justice. Right? This is a problem today as well. Perverse justice. And then the Lord replies and he says, you think this is bad? Wait until you see what's coming. Now, we don't think that way because we think, oh, yeah, God's going to say, I'm going to make it all better. Yeah, but that's not what God said. I'm going to make it all better. He says it's going to get worse. Yeah. It's going to get worse. There's a result to all this junk. And that's maybe what we're seeing for the nation. He said, the nation will suffer because of iniquity. And this is why Habakkuk starts asking for revival. He says, no, this cannot be. The promises for Israel are still the promises for Israel, right? And this is kind of what it is. Not that God needs reminding. We need reminding that God has a promise for this nation. God has a promise for your life. God has a promise for this church. God, revive your work. Restore our land. Restore our nation. Are we really concerned about revival? Do we just get upset about injustice, or are we going to do something about it? Now, the problem is that some people, what they want to do is they just want to protest it. But that's not where our power lies. Our power lies in prayer. Our power lies in fasting. This is where I'm not saying you can't protest, but a lot of people are protesting without really going into prayer. And I'm not saying a one-sentence prayer, oh, Lord, you know, help us. No, that's not what I mean at all. Are we really paying the price in prayer and intercession and in fasting for our nation and saying, God, we cannot go on like this. This is not how this nation was built. This is not how my forefathers came. This is not the promise that you have. Come on, God, you did something before in Orange County. Revive your work. Revive your revivals. What we have seen in the past, we need to see much more, because the latter glory is much greater than the first glory that we saw. We must see revival in Orange County and in America. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Sorry, I get excited. Yeah, I'm not really sorry. I don't even know why I say it. Lord, do the works again. The mercy that you've showed before, show it again. Because when I read about Charles Finney, when I read about how he looks at the world, he said the same thing we're saying now. He said, we're going down into darkness. Almost all these revivalists, these reformers said the same thing. We're surrounded by darkness, death, hell, and destruction. And I'm like, you know what? We have one thing above all them, is that we have a history that God can change it. We have a history that he can bring revival. When is revival needed? This is what Charles Finney said. When is revival most expected? Is when it's most needed. Revival is needed for this nation. Revival is needed. Righteousness and justice doesn't start with the government. Righteousness and justice starts with the body of Christ. We are called to bear the light. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of this world. Right? So our job is to shine this light. What is revival? What do I mean with revival? Okay, a season of unusual divine visitation. And there's many explanations that I could give. Your pastor could probably do much better than I am, so I'm going to leave that to him. But the Lord is always with us. He is always present, right? He's always in our midst. But with revival, he comes in a distinct and in a noticeable way. And the kind of revival that I'm talking about is not just that we're excited and enthusiastic, but that the church is being raised to win souls. Is the church is being raised to bring new people in. As pastor said, right, it's not his or their job to grow the church. It's your job to grow the church. And we must be serious about the job that we have. And then you can say, yeah, but, you know, this place is so hard. Okay, you know, I could give an example. You don't think Holland is hard? Come on, man. It's like Holland is like California that took a left turn. You think this is left. You complain about the gas price. Okay, welcome to my nation. At least double, okay? But that's a bad example. Just look at Jesus. In Roman times, under some pretty bad dudes that love to torture people, you did something wrong, or even if you did not do anything wrong and they didn't like you, they would crucify you. Like the harshest form of torture you can imagine. They didn't only do it with Jesus. He's the one that was innocent and bore all our sin, but they did it with anybody they didn't like. There was no justice. He was still able to bring revival in the nation. He was able to change the world and change history with just him. 12 disciples, okay, or 12 apostles, maybe 70 disciples, okay, maybe 500 people that followed him, right? The book of Acts starts with 120 people. I always wonder, where's those 5,000 that had lunch with Jesus? They were invited to have lunch with Jesus. Where's all those 5,000? I think that's probably the first batch that got saved. You know, when it says that 3,000 got saved, there's probably a good chunk of them that are like, oh yeah, I remember having lunch with Jesus. Let me listen to what they had to say. And that's how revival was brought. I believe that God has called you to bring revival in Orange County. Actually, I have no doubt about it. And what do I mean with revival? I mean radical conversions of people that just become like crazy people. Radical, I don't mean radical violence. I don't mean radical in the natural. Radically spiritual. Right? They are on drugs and on sex and on alcohol one day, and the next day they are completely free. Not a process of 5 years to get you free, a 1,200-step program to get you free. I'm not against all those, but I believe that's not the revival that we should be looking for. The revival is instantaneous change because we believe in the miraculous. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness when we have issues. I'm very thankful for that myself. But it is actually the power to bring change into our lives. You know, we have heard so much about revival. And sometimes I think we kind of just dismiss it. What did I see with Habakkuk? With Habakkuk, I saw that he had compassion for his nation. So instead of complaining about your nation, instead of complaining about Orange County, instead of complaining about the church, how about having compassion? Instead of complaint about the politics, having complained about the homeless, having complained about drug users, having complained about all these people that are looking for weird forms of sex, having compassion will do so much more. I'm not saying that we should pretend that it doesn't happen. No, what we should be doing is crying out to God, God, change our nation. God, give me a message so that I can go to them and preach the gospel in a way that is actually going to be received by them. Right? I cannot convince anyone, but the Holy Ghost can bring a conviction on anyone. If he can save me, he can save them. And this is exactly what God wants to do. But where are the people that are hungry for change? Where are the people that are hungry? Because you're not going to have a revival if you're not going to be hungry for it. If you just dismiss it and you see Sunday as, oh, okay, we come nice, you know, nice family gathering in the church. No. This is a place of revival. Amen. This is a place for drastic and dramatic change. Yes. Man, there's so much things to say, but we need revival. We personally need revival. Are we desperate enough for that? You know, if you pray, but it seems like other people are not interested, they're not hungry, then it will drive you to your knees. When you preach and you don't see the response, Pastor, it will drive you to your knees. It will drive you to, God, I am desperate. You know, I do believe we're of the same breed, and we cannot live without revival. We can't. I can't live without the passion, without the fire. When I went to Poland, I went back to my own church. I cried in my church and I said, I can't do this in a way that our church would end up like that. I need to see passion. I need to see hunger. I need to see change. I have mercy for people. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to do everything right, but at least let's be on fire. Right? Let's at least pretend that the love of Jesus means something to us. You know, we say it's the most important thing, but we live our lives as if there's other things that are much more important than that. The clothes that we wear, the money that we make, the career that we have, the success that we have, all those things actually mean nothing without the fire. It means nothing. It's not important to me. It's not important to you. I don't care. I want to see revival wherever I go, right? And if I don't, it drives me to my knees. For me, I started fasting because I'm like, no, I don't see enough. You know, I need to look around me in this world and this, how the world is living life. It just hurts me. It hurts me. When I come to Orange County, I'm like, this hurts me. This is not what the calling is upon this nation. It's not supposed to be this way. But it's not the responsibility of politicians alone. It's the responsibility of the church. It's our responsibility to win souls. You know, we want them to change laws. No. Preach the gospel. You do what you can do. Preach the gospel. You want the right people to be voted in. You know what you need to do? You need to increase the electorate. You need to increase the voter base. How do you increase the voter base? Get them saved. Get them saved so they will start having the same values. You look at people and like, they don't have the same values. Well, get to work. And instead of advertising politics, instead of trying to convince them of that you're right and what the Bible says, you need to get them saved. Why are we trying to convince people that the Bible is God's word without them getting saved? Why would they believe you? We need to get them saved. Okay, I want to close with Psalms 85. Oh, Lord, there's still so much I want to say, but... All right. Psalms 85, verse 1. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought me back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us. You see, there's this again. Revival is restoration. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. See, this is the secret to glory, is the fear of the Lord. Not being scared of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord, and take it seriously. Don't take this as a Sunday. No, this is our life. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. So this is what we pray. Lord, be gracious and restore us again. Lord, change lives overnight. The people that I come in contact with, let there be something else than what I used to bring. Let there be power. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit be upon me, that even when I don't know what to say, they will know that you are in that room. Lord, something needs to change. You say in your word that I need to be a light to this world. Lord, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Let me be on fire so I can shine your light in this world. If you are hungry for these things, you will start crying out. Have you radically converted yourself? Or is it kind of halfway? If not, then it's time to repent. Did you become lukewarm? You know, you used to pray, and maybe you even used to worship for hours, but now you struggle. You don't share the gospel much anymore. Or you became a slave to the flesh. And you start giving in to all the fleshly desires that you have. Then this is your prayer. Lord, revive me. That's where revival starts. That you say, Lord, I repent of my lukewarmness. I repent of not sharing the gospel with other people. Revive me. Restore that fire in me. City Harvest is a church with the passion to save souls, to train believers. I love it when you talked about the training, the video that you did, because it's so important that we know how to take this world for Jesus Christ. God called you to bring change into your neighborhoods, into your city, into your state, and even this nation. I believe God has called you for a revival, not just for revival, but for a specific revival in this region. I believe you are ready. I believe the church needs to be ready. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to gather the harvest. He said, look at the harvest, for they are ready to be harvested. Amen. Amen. So let's close our eyes. So I don't know what part of that message spoke to you, but one of the things I for sure want to do before I go is to make sure that if there's any lukewarmness in you, if you've given in to the life of the flesh, or you've given up hope for revival, I want to give a chance to you to repent. Repent means turn the other way. If you've made other things more important than the gospel, if you've made other things more important than the kingdom of God, then let's repent. So let's do that. If that is you, just lift up your hands to heaven and let's pray together. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of being lukewarm. I repent of living a life of the flesh. From today, I commit myself to your kingdom, to preach your gospel, and to live a supernatural life. Fill me with fire. Set me ablaze so the world will come and see. Change me radically in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a good shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for those that don't know you yet. I thank you for salvation, Lord. If you're watching or if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the moment. He has a great plan for you, but you're separated from that plan because of sin. The Bible says we are all sinners. But the good news is that God loved us so much that he gave Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But that free gift doesn't just come. We have to receive it. And we receive it by repenting of our sin, believing in Jesus Christ, and by confessing him as the Lord over our lives. So if that's what you want, then just simply at home say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Change me. Change me. I repent of my sin, and from this day, I belong to you. Father, also thank you, Father, for your miracle healing power in every single body in this place. We command pains and weaknesses to go. We thank you for strengthening. In Jesus' name, amen.